thanks everyone for joining us. I've got an interesting interview here today. Anthony Amos, he contacted me after using Panic Away and spoke about the need to address men and anxiety. And it's something, actually, when he mentioned it, it's something that is very close to my heart, because I'm really interested in talking to men about mental health. I don't even like that word mental health. I prefer the mental fitness and this idea of just looking after yourself. So Anthony's a really interesting guy. He's got a really interesting background. Anthony, thanks for coming today. Thanks for coming to Dublin. Anthony was actually on business in Ireland and made some time so he could be here and we could have a chat.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here in sunny Dublin.
And, sunny is right, yeah.
So if I just give myself a little bit of a background here, just to give the guys out there an understanding that I'm not just somebody off the street that wants to throw out, the way that I've, dealt with these so-called panic attacks, which I'd just like to, address once I get going on my feelings behind all that, and give the guys out there just a good understanding. So my background is in franchising. I create franchise systems, build them up, and then sell them to companies that are interested in purchasing the end product. We've had a very successful business called Hydrodog that I founded with my brother back in 94 and took it to the largest franchise of its kind in the world. And to this day, there's over a couple of hundred in Australia, and I brought it to America. And it's a worldwide brand. So that's pretty much the platform that injected me into the stratosphere, if you like, into other markets in other franchising products, and also some fantastic business partners I've got in the US right now. When I started to get these the panic attacks about 3 years ago, like all guys out there, I had no idea what it was. I thought I was dying. I was actually rushed to hospital, and it was a very frightening experience.
Now, well, let's actually talk about that, because you mentioned that earlier. Let's talk about that episode in particular.
Well, the thing for me was it actually happened after a big weekend. I played professional football when I started my career. Then I played local football right up until I was 30. So I was a man's man, knocking around with some tough guys and, having a really good time, obviously, when we would win and celebrate. And I woke up the next morning after a big night and nearly fainted, but had the heart just motoring on me, just like I was dying, because I've never had this experience before. So I called out to my wife and I actually said, I'm thinking I'm having a heart attack. She called the ambulance. The ambulance came and I get to hospital. I do all the tests. Nothing showed up, but nobody said that I had an anxiety attack or a panic attack or anything like that. So I still didn't really know, but I didn't really want to tell anybody about it.
Of course
I didn't want
not,
to sort of
yeah.
say that I had that problem. So I didn't research it back then. I just didn't want to know about it. So a year or so went by. I hadn't really had another one again, but then when I went overseas, it happened again to me after a big night on the drinking. But this time I knew what it was because I had researched and found out it was a panic attack. The word panic to me, and this is something that Barry and I have been talking about, when you think about it, the men are out there going, well, I don't suffer from a panic attack, because it's the word itself. And once you've been through one, I think those types of people that have had them are really strong, mindset people that can actually get through them. They are the toughest things to nail out. When you don't know what they are and you're able to get through them, I respect anyone that's been through that process, because it's tough.
Yeah.
And when people understand what it is, it's the fight or flight in us. If a lion tiger jumps through the window right now, we're either going to run away or we're going to stay there and, defend our lives. I mean, that's pretty much what happens to us. And that's what causes these things. But they're coming out at the wrong time. Our mind isn't in the right balance like it used to be once you start to get them. And I just know that feeling. I feel like that I'm a warrior in my mind state that's taking this on. So when it ever happens from now on, I picture myself as being in a warrior state. So I'm now in a warrior state and I'm dealing with fight or flight, just like they did thousands of years ago, getting through that period of time to survive. And it is survival. It is absolute survival. And there's no sugarcoating this, because it's a very, very difficult thing to come out of.
So what bodily sensations were the worst for you? What were the triggers?
When you take a deep breath in and you can't cut it? Like when you go, and it cuts off.
Yeah.
I mean, you take that for granted, you know, when you're having one of these, because when you can't cut that off, you actually feel like that you are taking your last breath. So it's probably the breathing part for me. But then when the heart starts to kick in, it starts to give you that feeling that, shit, hold on, I know this is a panic attack. I should say I'm in warrior state now. And is the heart attack this time? You know, you still have that doubt. Yeah. But then you go through your steps and it calms yourself down. Taking this on full on and getting angry, as my friend, business partner that's with me today suggests, you turn into the Incredible Hulk and you make it disappear. You get in there and you just take it on and get angry, and it slowly starts to dissipate. Because once it peaks, the only time it can happen again, because that one's gone, but another one is on its way, because the fear of the fear of bringing it back again starts.
Yeah.
So that's probably the scariest part, is when you trip into that circle that just that doesn't stop.
Yeah, it's that loop of anxiety, which is, it's the fear of fear, and it's really, really difficult to snap out of that once you get caught up in it. It's a very scary place to be as well, isn't it? And I think for men, it's a really hard place to admit to be in, because we're kind of, for us, it's all about, you know, I think men, the funny thing with men is that it's not the fear of what other men think. I think it's more the fear of what your family think and your partner thinks, because you've got to be the strong person for them, you know. You know that expression where you think that they would rather you die on your horse than fall on the ground vulnerable, you know, so that you're the warrior and you've got to be that for your children, you've got to be that for your wife. And when you're not playing that role, it shatters your confidence, and it's very hard to admit you've a problem, you know.
You know, Barry, that's probably the strongest, probably the strongest message that I can share with the guys out there, is that, you know, when you are that warrior in your family and you're having one around your kids, man, it's demoralizing, you know. And you get back up and you brush it all off, but they've seen it. They've seen you go through it. And my daughter will say, Daddy, are you having trouble breathing again? Because she knows that I've been to the hospital. I mean, that's not something that you really want to share, because they need to feel safe around you all the time.
Exactly.
So I think it's about education. If the guys that I've been talking to, and just to sort of let the listeners out there know, is I'll go into a group of guys. I never embarrass them around their girls, but I'll go to a group of guys and I'll say, has anybody here had one of those things where you feel like you're dying and you've had a heart attack and, you know, you've got to go to hospital or you've been to hospital? And there's silence, and one of them say, yeah, I think I've had one of those. So we know they're panic attacks. Oh, no, I've never had a panic attack. No. People don't know what it is. Once they're educated and they know that it is this panic attack, and as I said, it's really the name. You know, if we could sort of work it that it's a warrior state of mind, guys would be different about it. They'd share more examples and more times that they've had it with each other. But then the other ones would go around and say, oh, yeah, I had one of those when I was younger. You know, actually, I had one of those last week. Then they start to talk about it. Everybody's now engaged with it all. And we laugh about our examples on, you know, where we were on the floor of the kitchen and we couldn't move. You know, things like that start to get really funny.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, the states that you get into, the thoughts that you have when you're having a panic attack. You know, you feel like you're a totally different person when you're in that zone.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm always surprised at how it catches you. So the intensity of it, now, you talked about anger. Was anger a key for you? What was the thing that transformed it for you?
What transformed it for me? I think taking it on head on was the key. I think it becomes habitual after a time, because the guys stop doing what they love to do because they know the next day that they're going to get one, especially if it's drink related. And since I've used a little technique of having a drink of water in between every drink until I forget at the end, it's still enough for me to wake up tomorrow and feel, you know, a little bit better.
Not as bad, yeah.
But the secret to getting guys back on the horse again and getting out with their mates again is they've got to understand what they have first, so they can then do the program to get rid of what's wrong with them. And it's just such a mindset, because habitually if you get into that process of saying, right, here it comes, all right, bring it on, give me a heart attack, make me stop breathing, and then it just slowly starts to dissipate after it peaks. And then it goes. But if you do that all the time, they eventually go. And you don't actually have to do it anymore, because your body seems to lock it back into where it originally was.
Yeah. And then you enter this state of acceptance where regardless of what the sensation is, you accept it for what it is. You know, you don't get upset by it. Yeah. So you can have those hangovers and you can deal with the sensations and not get worried by it. You know, you don't even have to use that anger anymore because it doesn't peak.
Yeah.
It's, you're aware of what it is, you know what it is, and you look after yourself as well a bit better, I think, after panic attacks. You know, you become more aware of not to overdrink if you know, you know, the next day you're going to really suffer. Looking after your hydration, exercise being so important, and taking time out. You know, all the key things that we know are important for mental health.
Yeah.
And you kind of, I think you become more aware of them, and you watch your life, and if business is getting stressful or home life is getting stressful, you kind of say, okay, I need to step back a bit here. I need to take some time for myself, maybe read stuff that's been working for me again, go over the materials. And, you know, it's more about just being aware more than anything else. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, you know, you're right, though. Adding all of this together of eating clean, drinking stacks of water. I'll drink a gallon of water a day now, and that helps so much because you're hydrating your body, you're eating clean, you're exercising. And then that on top of learning the Panic Away program, it then just keeps it a nice, easy consistency. You can still have your drink. You can still, if you're really good throughout the week and your culture is to drink.
Yeah, I mean, Irish people,
And Australians, we love to have a drink. And if you behave yourself right up until that one drinking day or that one occasion, it's nice to reward yourself from having some nice things. And there's probably some people out there saying that you shouldn't drink, but it's hard when you've got cultures like ours that's the way. And that. But the other thing too is this is my thing with business is, you can initially meet people and have a great time and work it all out. But if you have a little drink with them, it might only be a few, you start to sort of relax a little bit more. And then there's a lot more things to talk about that you probably wouldn't do it normally. So to me, it's important
of course.
To do that.
I totally understand that. I don't think people should have to cut alcohol out. I don't even think people should have to cut coffee out of their lives completely. For the initial phase, they often have to to get through that really difficult spot where they're cut. And then bring it back in slowly, you know, bring in a bit of coffee again, bring in a few drinks again, and just see how you are. And, you know, I even tell people sometimes really go for it. And if you're really using the program well and you're feeling brave, go out in the piss and see how you do the next day. You know, challenge yourself that way. Push yourself into the situations where you've been. Because if you have this idea in your head that I can do everything but that, then you're still suffering from anxiety. If you've still got areas where you're uncomfortable, you've got to go into those areas. So plan it out, whatever it is. It could be a plane flight. It could be sitting in a meeting room, you know, a business and public speaking, finding the opportunity to challenge yourself. Because I think we all, after having experienced panic attacks, are a bit reserved about certain things. Sometimes we don't even admit to it, but we don't even admit to ourselves that we're avoiding situations, you know. Ooh. And it's so important to banish it from every area of your life. So you go back to the guy that you always were, fearless, you know.
Well, I think the best advice you gave me was, because I was happy enough just to take, you know, a small pill to get me back on track again, but I didn't want to have to be dependent on that. Take them with me, make sure that I always had it just in case. And then when it's all done naturally, it's just such an easy thing. You don't have to worry about making sure you've always got it on you. But going through that and doing the experiment, and why don't you go and get on the piss and get shit-faced and deal with it, like through the program, and that's exactly what I did. And that moment, that was the whole thing of, I can do this now and I can still have a drink and not really have a problem with it at the end of the day. So that was great for me to get back on the horse, if you like, because I didn't want to stop doing that. And that was the truth. It's nice to sort of celebrate your wins that you have in life, and to do that sort of thing is really good. But I look at it like this. People that are going through the panic attack or the warrior state
I really like that, the warrior state.
I think it's great for men. I think men need to know that they are tough fuckers going through this. It's not that they're pussies. They are tough in the mind to get through them. You're being a warrior. I mean, we're dealing with flight or fight. We're not dealing with some mental illness. We're dealing with a mechanism that's been in our, you know, DNA since God knows when, but it's all about dealing with this on a really high level. So,
and it's been triggered at the wrong moments.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And we're just trying to figure out what's going on, why is it happening now, and getting through it, managing it.
Yeah. I got a little story. I don't know, you know, how relevant it can be for some people, but to me, I believe that having this little condition that people are getting with the panic attacks is happening for a reason, and it's making people stronger for down the track for them at some level, whether it's business or whether it's relationship. it gives them the courage to know that if they can get through a panic attack, man, they can get through anything. And then once you learn not to have them anymore, you've built like a resistance of strength within your mind to be able to cope with much larger things that are coming. So there's a little bit of a story. I shared this with my business partner today, is that back in the early 50s, there was Japanese that came over to Australia, and they got a hold of a coral fish. I'm not really sure what sort of fish it was, but it's just a bit of a story to give a really good ending. And they said, we love this fish that much. We want you to send it to Japan. We'll buy stacks of it. And made everybody very, very wealthy. So they send all the fish over, and they froze the fish. And when the fish arrived, it tasted terrible because it was frozen. It wasn't fresh. So they went back and regrouped, and they then organized the ship to go over in tanks. So the coral fish were in all these tanks. They went over live. They turned up, and they were all gangly and straggly, and they didn't look healthy, and they were terrible to eat. So again, it was ruined. So then they did some research and found out that this coral fish had a black catfish that was its predator. So they split the tanks in half and put like a see-through piece of glass. The catfish was on one side, coral fish was on the other side, and while it was traveling, it had its whole nervous system consistently worrying about getting eaten by the black catfish. So when the coral fish arrived in Japan, they were brilliant, brand new, fresh, and the business was done and still done to this day. So I feel that these warrior modes that we all go through, that's our catfish. That's what is giving us the strength in ourselves to know that this is happening for a reason. There's something bigger on the other side that can invest in us to become a better person, to become more tolerant. You know, I mean, anyone that's got kids out there needs something to understand patience and to look at them. And when you go through this, your appreciation of the smaller things goes through the roof. And you only need to have one to understand that. So I believe they come into people's lives to give them more strength for down the track. And then once you've got that lesson, go through the program, get rid of it for good, then that extra appreciation that you've got, that some people don't get these particular things, will never understand.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you become a bigger person because of this. You're more aware of yourself, and it's a tool as well. You can go on and teach other people, because so many people suffer from the problem.
Yep.
But it definitely, definitely makes you grow as a person, without a doubt, because you're challenged in a way that most people are never challenged. You're challenged on an inner level. You know, your foundations are completely shocked, rocked by this thing. And then you're building yourself up again. You're building stronger foundations. Mm. And it's such an important skill to have. And I think a lot of people never even get that experience. So there's such a gift in anxiety. And when people get the gift, the meaning of the anxiety, that's when they really rocket ahead with their life and move on to even bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's totally...
Because it's funny, you go from such an incredible, lonely, scary place that even the people around you can't help you. Your loved ones cannot help you in that mind space.
No.
It's really, really bad.
They don't understand it because they're not there.
That's exactly right. And to get from that then to the other side and have a healthy, normal life, you've got to ask yourself, how many people can actually do that and have that final feeling of achievement that you've been through hell and back? And when people say, oh, it's just a panic attack, well, tell them to come and see me with that question, because that's obviously someone that's never had one. Because once you've had it, then you're in a very higher level group of people. That
an elite club.
An elite club, that's it, yeah. They're an elitist.
So we actually have Anthony's partner, Declan, here.
Business partner.
Business partner. But it's interesting because I didn't know Declan was coming, but we were chatting there having some food before the interview. And Declan was talking about he potentially experienced anxiety on different occasions, or would we call them panic attacks as well? Declan, what's your experience?
I have no problem calling them panic attacks because, again...
You might have in the beginning, though. You might have thought you were a bit of a...
Well, no, I don't have the dramas have been called, whatever. I have no problem. My biggest fear was I didn't know what they were. Again, it was usually after a big weekend, as Anthony earlier said, so your body's in a really low state health-wise, I think. And then if I was put in a situation, like for me, it could be, I've had them on an airplane, I've had them in cars, but I thought I just call them extreme hangovers. But you're obviously somewhere where you don't want to be, and you start thinking, oh, what if I get sick and I make a spectacle of myself in front of everyone? So that was, I think, what you set it off for me, making a fool of myself in public. So while you're thinking of that, this thing creeps up in you, and you have a full-blown extreme hangover. Now I know it was an anxiety attack.
And let me just paint the picture here for the listeners. Both Anthony and Declan are rugby players or former rugby players?
I'm actually still playing. I've no dramas with you know, as Anthony said, we're men's men. We played rugby in Australia together to a very high level. So physical pain doesn't bother me. Mm. Confrontation doesn't bother me. But the biggest thing about this was I didn't know what it was.
Exactly.
It's like you don't feel like you're going to vomit. So you're going, what's wrong with me? I don't feel like I'm going to vomit. You're profusely sweating. Your heart rate goes through the roof. Your breathing becomes irregular. And you've no explanation. And that makes it worse. For me, it's make it worse because it's what happened. So I just have to literally, I've been on a toilet floor on my hands and knees. It sounds bad. No, I'm not. He's laughing. And I mean, when in your life, in a public toilet, you have to go into a cubicle, and there's piss on the floor and everything, but you don't care. You have to get,
And that's the power of it. It just knocks you down.
I would lie down in the middle of the street in a puddle just to
get through.
Eyes curl up. But see, I didn't know what it was. Eyes curl up and I didn't know what it was. So what happened was, Anthony, through your program and through his own experiences, became aware, and I was in America visiting, and we were doing business and stuff. And I basically had a couple of big nights. It's fine. We were going in a friend's Jeep, and I was actually in the front seat, which is, I know it does make a massive difference, believe it or not. The back seat, it would have happened a lot sooner, I think. And all of a sudden, in mid-conversation, very rude of me, I just met this guy, Scott, really nice guy, he's telling me a story. And I said, and we're in the fast lane of a 3-lane highway, and I went, mate, you're going to have to pull in. And he was like, what? I'm going to pull over now. And he went, are you going to get sick? And I couldn't answer because I could not talk. He was talking to me and he was looking at me.
But you were in a different place.
I couldn't hear a single word he said for an entire 5 minutes. It was just white noise. No disrespect to him. He was telling an interesting story. He thought, it was a kind of a gory story about a jet ski accident. He thought that I was squeamish.
Yeah.
It's only when I got out of the van, at the side of the motorway, I would have actually, what I usually do is I'll walk away on my own and I'll hide because I don't want to have this in front of other people.
Of course, man.
That was the biggest thing for me, is embarrassment, because I'm a proud person. And as Anthony said earlier, I don't want people seeing me weak. It's weakness, even though now I know it's not. That's why I have no dramas with calling it a panic attack. And it's when Anthony saw my hands basically locked up, and people can't see. It's like halfway between an open palm and a fist, but you can't open them.
Yeah, we were talking about that from hyperventilating.
And I said, I just showed Anthony my hands and said, what the fuck is happening to me? Mm. And he went, it's a panic attack, mate. And he talked me down. And the minute he talked me down, calmed me down, he spoke to me really nicely. I was waiting for him to take the piss. I snapped out of it and I got through it. Now, it's happened to me before, and unbeknownst to myself, again, I didn't know what it was, but anger got me through it because someone said he's faking or he's putting it on. So basically, I went, boom, right, there's my fight.
Yeah.
So there's someone to fight. Now, I don't mean physically or anything, but we had a good verbal confrontation. So there was a payoff for it. It was there for a reason, so it went away because there was a payback for it, you know, if you can understand that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have one and there's no end game, you don't have to fight anyone. It's so mind-blowingly confusing, and you don't...
You've all this adrenaline, all of this energy, and where do you go with it?
It's a massive... Yeah, exactly. It's like taking massive... quantities of adrenaline shots and think you can go to bed and go to sleep.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It doesn't work that way. So since I've become aware of it now, I basically totally got a massive health kick. Like, I'd go out every weekend. I'm not a big drinker, but I'd have one big night out. But I thought at the time that I was suffering from depression because it has different forms. It's low-level ones where you just... want to shut the door, shut the world out. You can't face anything.
And but that does make you depressed as well.
Yes.
You know?
And the reason I stopped calling it depression is because someone close to a friend of mine, his uncle had full-blown depression and he died as a result of it eventually. So I thought it was disrespectful to... I thought it was disrespectful to someone suffering from a genuine thing. So I stopped calling that. Again, it went back to, I just get extreme hangovers. And it's then basically meeting someone who understood it, saved me and changed me. And again, I eat right, drink loads of water, training all the time, which I just do anyway. But it's very easy to overcome them. I won't say easy to overcome them, but unless you've had one, you'll never ever understand what it's like. As I said to you earlier, having lunch, it sounds really bad, and I apologise to anyone who's been down any road, but if someone put a gun in front of me when I have one, I'd seriously consider, when it was happening, when I got full blood, I'd seriously consider.
It was that horrible.
And it's just, I'd probably rather break a limb. Playing a match.
Or
get a horrific injury playing a match.
People say they wish they had some kind of disease compared to this so that they could say, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Now I'll treat it, you know?
100%. And since I became aware of it through Anthony, I've no dramas. I tell my mates. And since I've said it, now one of them will be texting me usually on a Monday or Tuesday after a big weekend going, I'm in the horrors.
I'm
in the horrors, blah, blah, blah. And now he says, the anxiety is creeping up on me now. So you're not on your own. 100%, I guarantee you, it's far more people than, but like me, they don't want anyone to see it happening.
And that's why we're having this conversation.
Exactly.
Talk about it.
But I've no dramas because I know outside of that. And it's the same with Anthony. We've no dramas with confrontation or anything like that.
No, well, that's an interesting point because a lot of firemen, a lot of policemen are using Panic Away program, and they can run into burning buildings, they can run into very dangerous situations and never feel a bit of anxiety because they're in control and they know what to do. But they can't sit and get their hair cut because they don't know what this thing is. They don't know what this inner threat is. And that's the difference. You know, so it's nothing to do with bravery or courage. It's really just about understanding what's going on, you know, and knowing what to do with this adrenaline that's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Knowing where to put that energy, how to channel it.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's knowledge. Knowledge is power, and especially with this. I think the biggest fear of the whole thing, again, is I couldn't put a label on it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And as Anthony said, he thought he was having a heart attack. That thought never crossed my mind, mind you, because, geez, I started getting maybe mid-20s or whatever, or...
Yeah, you'd be worried about your heart.
I have no worries about my heart. I just thought, again, it was motion sickness or extreme hangovers. Actually, it was motion sickness is what I was blaming for a long time.
Yeah.
Because they happened to happen in cars and planes and stuff, but no, they weren't.
So, Anthony, if someone walked into the room here and said that they suffer from panic attacks, or when you meet people like that, what are the key things that you just say to them? What do you want to get across?
They're suffering from them, or they're actually having one?
Let's say they're just dealing with them on an ongoing basis. So they're having them in different situations, like at work or maybe when they're driving, and they come to you and say, look, I hear you've dealt with this similar issue. What advice would you give them? What would you say to them?
So do they know what it is yet? Are they still searching to find out what it is?
Let's say they know what it is, but they just don't know where to go from here. In terms of dealing with it.
I think the biggest thing is that you've got to be a little bit more loud and proud about it. I think you've got to accept it, that it's a part of you. It's not going to be there. If you do it properly and use your program to get rid of it, you're not going to have it anymore. But you first have to face the fact that they're there. Once you acknowledge that, I'm suffering from this warrior state that I've got myself into, and I've got to work out how to put flight or fight back into the basket where it needs to get into, then I'm right. So once you know, you go through the program, and then you've got the experience of being through them, that then gives you the power to move forward to be a stronger person. So it's definitely when you know to work through the program. And, you know, your forums and the way that you can connect people together to speak to people is unbelievable. So it's not like they're on their own. I mean, there's a wonderful saying that, you know, they're on their own, but they're not alone. That's what this program does. It keeps you within a little community that you can actually talk to other people about it. If you want to go that far, some people aren't into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they've got to acknowledge the fact that they can do something straight away with it. And that's probably what my advice would be. Yeah. The people that don't know what they've got out there, you know, we're in such a technology explosion. You just Google what's wrong with you. You know, I'm having heart palpitations and can't breathe probably, bang. You've got a, you know, you're having a panic attack. Once you find out, then you can solve it. But it's all about education. People need to understand that there's nothing wrong with them. You know, there is nothing wrong with having these attacks.
Yeah.
It's just a process of growth.
Yeah. And it's also about getting the right information because, and there's lots of good sources, not just Panic Away, but there's lots of good sources of right information. But oftentimes you'll find people getting the wrong information.
Yes.
That they're told to control this, manage it, calm down, breathing exercises, distraction, all this kind of stuff, which is really not the way to go. You know, they've got to, in my opinion, and what I've taught all the thousands of people who use Panic Away is they've got to go through the anxiety and through the panic and come out the other side, because that's the only way to end the fear of fear.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because when you do Google that and you find out that you are having an anxiety attack or a panic attack, whatever it's labeled at the time, you cannot afford to go down the prehistoric process that's out there that's been happening for years. This is how it used to be done. I don't know whether it's another level of anxiety that's sort of, morphed into this monster compared to what it used to be years ago. But the models out there that tell you to do that, the calming down and get the paper bag and all that bullshit, it's almost worse because it doesn't solve the problem. And it then creates another anxiety attack on top of that, or a panic attack on top of that.
And so you're left with this thing to manage the rest of your life, which is ridiculous.
It's exactly right. It doesn't go away. It stays with you, but you learn to manage it. You don't need to manage this. You can actually
finish it,
destroy it. You can get rid of it and learn from having it as a good thing, rather than thinking, oh no, here comes one. Oh, okay, what have I got to do? I've got to do these steps, or whatever the case may be. But this way, you go through the program, they're gone.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah, it's becoming powerful again. You know, it's turning that panic into power. You know, and not this other approach seems to just create more weakness or more vulnerability. So you're dependent on this managing it. Maybe you're dependent on medication still. You know, you feel you need those crutches. You end up having all these kind of crutches and safety blankets that you carry around with you, and that doesn't end. That continues for years and years. So many people that I meet have all of these safety blankets that they've brought along because they've been managing it all the time, just managing, trying to get through.
It becomes a self-hypnosis process. You basically keep telling yourself that you've got them. Oh, but I've got a solution to...
I have a disorder.
That's exactly right. And then you self-hypnotize yourself and you're now labeled and you just make it a part of what you normally do. And that really causes people not to be happy. Everybody should wake up every morning and go, I just love my life so much, rather than thinking, oh, if only I could get rid of this thing. You know, imagine waking up every day like that, every day.
Yeah.
People do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a simple process of just getting into this program and making that go away.
Well, I think it's been really, really helpful talking to both of you. I think there's a lot of people going to listen to this and get a lot out of it. And particularly, you know, today we're talking to men, and it's that message of, deal with this, you know, find out, if you're not sure, find out exactly what it is. Go to the doctor as well, get the checkups done, make sure there can be physical things causing these sensations. Go to the doctor. Once you discover that it is definitely just anxiety you're dealing with, then tackle it. Get the right information and work through it.
Yeah, right. So don't forget, guys, you're a warrior and you're dealing with fight or flight. That's the key.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Barry.